Thank you, worship team. I had a great time worshiping the Lord this morning. Good to have you all here. It is a cold day, but so glad that we can worship the Lord. And eventually, we'll be saying, it's so hot, Lord, please give us some cold, right? Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you to thank you. Thank you for this wonderful opportunity that we have as your people gathered together in your name to worship you. Would you speak to our hearts from your words now, Lord? Thank you so much for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The pursuit of love. I hope you have begun to understand a little bit of what the love that God is talking about. If you've been studying 1 Corinthians chapter 13 throughout this week, perhaps. But I'm still struggling with whether I want to do more on this chapter. There's so much stuff here, so much richness in it, and I feel like two messages is probably not enough, but we'll trust the Lord in it and see how the Spirit of God leads. But I want to begin by speaking to you a little bit about definition of love, this love. We talked about it last week. It is the selfless, sacrificial actions toward others empowered by the Spirit of God. It's a definition that you really can't define, right? What does that mean, Pastor Dan? You know, what are you saying there? Well, you know what? Agape love is not something you can actually really define. It is something that you have to describe, not define. Because it is nothing something you possess per se, but it is something that you do. It is an action. It is a verb, first of all. Love is a verb. And I'm going to go through a little bit. I hope it won't take too long because it's so rich that I'm so, you know, concerned that I miss some of it. But there are 15 different verbs here, different actions to do or not to do that Paul writes down in this section from verse 4 to 7 that describes it. And I want to touch base with it. It is, each one can be a message in itself, so it obviously is going to be kind of small in my description, but this is what love is. Love, agape love, that God has given to his people, empowered by the Spirit of God. Now, no one can exercise or do this unless they know Jesus Christ, because it is a spiritual thing. Agape love is a spiritual thing. It is something that only can happen with the power of the Holy Spirit as you walk in him. That's the only way it can happen. So it begins by saying, love is patient. So I'm patient. Well, you can't be patient like the way you can be patient by the power of the Spirit of God. It is not getting angry, no matter what's happening out there, you are patient. You're going to put up with it. You say, well, is that even good? Well, you know what? If you have agape love, that's what you do. You're going to be patient with your children. You're going to be patient with your wife or your husband. You're going to be patient with your friends. You're going to be patient with your coworkers. You're going to be patient with even those who hate you. You're not going to get angry. When you lose your anger, you lost your patience. Agape love is patient. And it goes on. It says love is kind. Agape love is kind. What in the world is that? Oh, I'm a kind person. Really? Kindness is something you do. You look forward to people who are in need. You look for people who have something that they lack. And you say, I can help you with this. I can go and do this. Kindness is something that you do. It is something that is empowered by the Spirit of God, enabling you to do that. You might have a little kindness if you don't know the Lord, or you might have a little kindness if you know the Lord, but you're not walking in the Spirit. But if you are kind, it is caused by that selfless, sacrificial love that God has given to you through the Holy Spirit. It goes on and says, and it's 15 of them now, it is not jealous. That word jealous, I'll tell you what that word jealous is. Remember back then, a couple of weeks ago, I told you that word, the covetous word, zelota, that word that I say, hey, it says here, seek the grave. No, that's the same word that is being used. It is used in a negative way. Don't be jealous. Don't covet. Don't look at your neighbor or somebody else. They got that. I really want that. Look at that beautiful voice that Ellie just sang out. I want that voice, you know. No, no, you don't do that. You say, that was great. Praise God for that. Someone else has something. That's so awesome. Praise God for that. You praise the Lord. You encourage the person. That's what you do. But if you don't have that, if you don't have agape love, you can say, I want that. How do I get that? If I can take it from him, I would. If not, I would at least want to get it better so that I can boast over that. Because the next thing it says, love, agape love, doesn't brag. That word in the Greek, that word brag, is literally meaning the same thing as a windbag. Have you heard people bragging? Oh my goodness, sometimes it's awful, isn't it? Just keeps talking about how great he is, or how wonderful she is, and on and on and on. Talks about themselves. That is bragging. That is not agape love. When you brag on yourself, that is not it. It is not arrogant. Arrogant, that word here, is used like a puff up, the word. Sometimes some translation uses that phrase to describe that word in Greek. Puffed up, arrogant. It's like a puff fish. You ever see those puffy fish? I used to have them in my fish tank. When they get scared or something happens, it puffs up. It makes itself, this little silly fish suddenly turns into a gigantic monster so that it can scare predators away or whatever it is it wants to do. But that's what we do too. You know, we are arrogant. We talk about our stuff. We puff ourselves up. And whatever we have, whatever we do, we say a lot more than it is. Well, if you have agape love, if you're a person who's focused on that, a person that gives of yourself selflessly and sacrificially and by the power of the Spirit of God, you do not brag and you are not arrogant. Goes on verse 5, it says, does not act unbecomingly, or some other translation says rudely. There are people that are really rude. They do things that offend you and they don't even know it. Sometimes they do know it and they like it. You know what? If you are a person of God, controlled by the Spirit of God, you do not do that. And if you did that, you're so sorry you did that. You do not do that because agape love doesn't do that. It does not seek its own. In other words, it's not selfish. This is a passage of scripture. If you have it, you can continue to follow with me from verses 4 to 7. It is not a selfish thing. It doesn't look for what is good for me. Again, love is a verb. This is what we do or don't do, right? We don't look for things that is good for me. It's not selfish. It doesn't seek its own. It is not provoked. That's interesting. Have you thought about what provokes you sometimes? There are things, you know, I can totally think of things that provoke me. There are things that provoke me. It provokes me to anger if I let it. But you know what? If you have agape love, you don't let that happen. No matter how annoying or irritating or whatever it is that someone would do or say to you, you do not get provoked. Not because you shouldn't, but because you have love. Agape love controls that. The Spirit of the living God in you controls that so that you are not provoked by people. It does not take into account of wrong, a wrong suffered. You know what I mean? It doesn't keep track of wrong. There are people in life that every once in a while you hear it, perhaps on the news or something, someone who would never forgive somebody. I can never forgive my father. I can never forgive this person that hurt me like that. You know, a lot of the serious ills that we have in our world is because of things in the past, you know, and they are terrible things. Maybe sexual abuses. Maybe family abuses, physical abuses, maybe wrongs that are done horribly, families that have done things to each other. We go back and we let that wrong just totally transform who we are in the future. We let the past define us. We allow those things to hurt us. It's like, unforgiveness, they say that, right, is not giving someone else poison, is drinking poison yourself. And that's what we do a lot. We have something in the past, and you know what? If we live long enough, there's a lot of things in the past. No matter what kind of lives that you have lived, there's something there, you know, that someone has hurt you. And if you keep that on record, well, you're not living with agape love. Goes on, verse 6, it says, does not rejoice in unrighteousness. I don't know if you ever done that before. There's a lot of ways to look at that particular meaning. One of the things is sometimes, you know, those who are considered our enemies and something bad happens to them, something unrighteous, yes, you know. No, you don't want to do that. You don't want bad things to happen to even bad people. But there's another thing, too. Sometimes we let's say we're watching a movie, we're watching those ridiculously unrighteous things and people are laughing at us. There's some comedy out there that is really based on unrighteous things and we're laughing about it. No, you don't rejoice with those kind of things. That's why one of the problems I have with movies sometimes is just the cursing that constantly goes on. I can't take it. After a little while, if a movie's like that, we just shut it down. We say, we're not going to listen to this anymore. There's nothing funny about it. There's nothing, you know, beneficial to my ears or my mind from it. We don't want to rejoice in those kind of things. But it goes on and says, but rejoices for the truth. Whatever is true, we rejoice with. The word of God is truth. We rejoice with the word of God. When someone states the truth and operates on the basis of truth, we rejoice with that. That's what we want. We don't want lies going on, whether it supports our opinions of anything. We want to follow truth. And the last four things out of these 15s, I'm sorry, I went a little fast. I know that. It's so not deserving of speed. We should dwell on that a little more. But the last four out of the 15, I love this. I'm going to take a little time here. Verse 7, it says, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. He said, what in the world is that? That's love. Agape love bears all things. What does it mean to bear all things? Well, you want to take a look at it in this way. Whether it's somebody you know, whether somebody, maybe your child, maybe it's your spouse, maybe somebody, when somebody does something that is wrong, what do you want to do? You want to call them out? Do you have any forbearance with it? Are you able to say, hey, hang in there. He did something wrong. I'm not going to jump on him. Whether it's my family member or what. Sometimes we just love to do that. You see, you did it wrong, you know? I'm going to tell him. I'm going to you squeal on you, whatever it is. And you're going to hold off there. Can you bear it? You say, because I love this person. Because I want to exercise agape love with this. Can I bear it and hold off? Bears all things. But it goes on. It says, believes all things. You say, well, that's stupid. Why do you want to believe all things? Something's not believable. It doesn't mean that. It means this person, let's say that person did that and came up to you and you have forbearance with that person. And then he says, I'm going to try better. I'm not going to do that again. And in your mind, so now you did it about 100 times already. But you know what? If you have agape love, you're going to say, okay. I'm going to believe that. I'm going to believe that you can do that. Believes all things. Even though it's not happening, but you're believing it. You're believing that there's possibilities that this person that you care about can change. You're going to bear with the sin or whatever thing that was done. You're going to believe that he can be different. Then the third party goes, hopes all things. Right. It's not happening, but you still want to throw that hope. You know what hope is like? In case you don't know what a hope is. It's kind of like you're floating in the ocean. And the boat is so far away, but you know what? There's a rope attached to you. You know what that is? That's hope. That's what hope is. You know, when there's no rope, there's no more hope, right? You got that rope, and you're in a deep ocean. You might be drowning, but you know what? You got that rope, and that boat is there. That boat could be really, really far away. But because you have hope, and because you're hoping all things, you're going to hang on to that, and you're going to think, you know, it's possible. So whether it's your son or your daughter, whether it's your best friend, you know, they're going off the deep end. You know, I want to tell you, as pastor and as person who lived a long time, we've been with a lot of people whose children are just almost hopeless. Talk to parents that have given up. You know, he's never going to change. Whether it's addiction, whether it's waywardness, whatever it is. But if you have agape love for that person, you're going to hang on to that hope. You're going to hope. There's somewhere there because your hope is based on God, because you have the Spirit of God in you to say, I can believe and I can hope, and I'm going to hope that. I'm not going to release that rope. You hang in there. And then when it's not working out and you're just battered, and no matter what you do and you hang on, it doesn't show like it. The last part, it says, endures all things. You endure it. I think about Jesus. He had all these things, you know. Think about him on the cross of Calvary. What did he do? He bore our sins. He believed the possibilities. He hoped for us. And even as they were killing him and torturing him, he endured. Why? Because he had agape love. That's why he did all that. Can you imagine a church like that? Can you imagine our church being like this? These 15 characteristics, these 15 descriptions, these 15 verbs. If we were exercising agape love like that, are you kidding me? Who wouldn't want to be a part of that? The nastiest person out there would love to be here. I still remember a long, long time ago, one of the first things I heard when we went on a mission trip to Ukraine, and there was this little church, you know, that we were helping out. And it was just a tiny little room, I tell you. I declare, that room is not bigger than the parsonage. It's probably smaller. And there were 300 people stuck in there, every single service. They would sit on the windowsill, they'd be outside listening, on and on and on. And I got to know some of the people. And one of the young men that came, actually he was helping me translate sometime, he was not a believer. He was not a believer. So I asked him, his name is Egan. I said, Egan, why do you come? He said, well, I want to tell you, a lot of my friends come to churches like this because that's where they have the nicest girls. That's literally what he said. And he didn't mean it that they were the most beautiful girls. They were just the nicest girls. These are girls that you want to marry. Why? Because they had the Christian characteristics in them. And so even non-Christians, for bad reasons, were drawn to people who had God's love in them. I want to tell you, churches who exercise these verbs, my goodness, you can't stop people from coming. Who doesn't want that kind of love? Now, the second thing we want to look at today is the love is eternal. It goes to verse 8, and it begins right there. It's the love never fails. Love never fails. How many things do you know that never fails? That will never end? How many things do you know? We know, we talk about eternity. We don't even know what eternity is about, really. We talk about a lot of things, whatever the scripture tells us, but what never ends? We know that love will be enduring forever, eternal. And Paul goes on and says, you know, talking about things that he has been struggling with the people in Corinth, he said, but if there are gifts of prophecy, talking about spiritual gifts, and we're going to talk about that in the weeks ahead. They're going to be gone. You don't need the gift of prophecy when you're in heaven and the Almighty God is right there. And he says, if there are tongues, they will cease. You don't need the gift of tongues. You don't need any spiritual gift for that matter. If there is knowledge, it'll be done away. Why? You don't need supernatural knowledge given to you because we will all have supernatural knowledge in heaven. In fact, to a place where he says, you know, now we only know in part. No matter what we do, we only know some. We don't know everything. There's no completion. But over there, we're going to know everything like we are known by the Savior, by our God, everything about us. And then he describes it in a little bit where he says, when I was a child, I used to speak like a child, thought like a child, reason like a child. But when I became a man, I am no longer a child anymore. Someday in heaven, we are going to be completely 100% maturated, mature persons in Christ. And he goes on to describe, now we see dimly in a mirror. You say, what does that mean? We see mirror, they're crystal clear. No, not in those days. Those days, you don't have mirrors everywhere. Mirrors are made with kind of metallic background and glass. Well, the glass making wasn't very good. So they will see mirrors, usually just a metal piece of mirror, and it might be a little crooked and on. You see what happens when that happens, right? You don't see yourself. Sometimes, I look pretty skinny. You're not. Right? And that's what Paul is describing. You know, you see things with distortions. But when we are in heaven, we're perfect. We know everything. So we don't need any of that stuff. In fact, you know what else we don't know? Because in verse 13 it says, but now faith, hope, and love abide. And these three, but the greatest of these is love. You don't even need faith in heaven anymore. Because you don't need to step out faith. You have sight in heaven. Complete spiritual eternal sight. And you don't need hope in heaven. All your hopes are fulfilled already. There's nothing to hope for because it's all there. That's heaven. It's awesome. But you know what you need in heaven? What there will still be in heaven? It is agape love. So love is forever. So it's something that's going to be part of our lives for eternity. Agape love. Now remember what agape love is. It is not a selfish love. It is not an emotional love. It is not a mushy thing. It is not the Valentine's love we're talking about coming up this week. It isn't. It is a selfless, sacrificial act empowered by the Spirit of God and described by these 15 things. Now, the last thing we want to talk about is the command. Chapter 14, verse 1, and it's important to put that verse, those two words, actually, as part of this message, and that is pursue love. I want to tell you what it is here. It's really important. The Apostle Paul described love, said this is the greatest thing. He's already spent 12 chapters talking about all the struggles that the Corinthians had with disunity, with suing one another, all kinds of nonsense, right? He says, look, if you pursue love, all those things will fall in line. Everything will fall in line. So first of all, that word, diokokte, the word pursue, is a command. It's an imperative. It's not like, well, consider love, you know, it's a good thing for your life. No. Pursue love. You pursue love. This is what you as God's people, this is what you as a Christian need to do. You need to make a pursuit to love. Because it's a command. It's not a choice. It's not something, you know, I'll give you an option. No, no. As God's people, that is what we need to pursue. We need to pursue the selfless, sacrificial action toward others empowered by the Spirit of God. We need to pursue that, which means a few things. First of all, you have to become a Christian first. Second of all, you have to walk by the Spirit. You can't be walking by the world. You have to have the power of the living heart God, the Spirit of God living in you. You need to be filled with the Spirit of God in order to love like this. And it's a command. We like to pursue a lot of things. You know, most of us, we have a career, we pursue our career. We want to pursue resources. We pursue education. All these things are part of life, part of who we are as people. But as God's people, as Christians, more than any of those things, we need to pursue love. So it's a command. If we're going to pursue love, you need to understand it is a spiritual thing. It is a command, first of all, and it is a spiritual thing. So it is not something you can just do on your own. You say, oh, today I'm going to love. No. It is something that has to be empowered by the Spirit of God. So it is a spiritual thing. So more than anything else, you have to get before the Lord in prayer, in your devotional time, in your time in which you worship the Lord and say, Lord God, I want to be empowered by the Spirit of God today. I want to be filled with your Spirit. I want to have whatever it is needed so that I can walk by the Spirit. I do not want to walk by the flesh. Now we went through, you remember, if you were with me for the last few months, went through Galatians, went through Philippians. You understand what it means to walk by the Spirit. It is a spiritual thing. And not only that, it is an empowering thing. No, no, when you do this, you have power. You have capacity to do things that you cannot do on your own. God enables you, empowers you to do things that you can't believe. You say, how do I love people like that? How can I be patient with this person that gets on my nerve every single day? How in the world can I stand this people that hurt me all the time? Well, it is powered by the Spirit of God. That's how it works. And if you walk by the Spirit of God, if you've done things, you say, you turn back and say, how was I able to manage to say or to stay calm and do that? You would know that it is supernatural. It is supernatural power. And the last thing I want to share with you about this pursuit, it is essential. It is really, really important that you make love or the act of love an exercise every single day. I can tell you all the principles, but you have to go and do it. I'll give you some things that I do. For instance, I don't know if you met people like that or if you're a person like that. You talk on the phone to somebody, or you meet somebody, and all they do is talk about themselves. Have you met people like that? Blah, 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 blah. After a little while, it's like, I just got to get out of here. And sometimes we do that too. So what I do on the phone particularly and in conversation, I always make an effort, okay, make sure, Dan, make sure you ask them how they're doing. How's your family? How are you doing? And, you know, it's amazing. You ask that. Next thing you know, your whole life is focused on something else. Instead of, I'm feeling bad. I got a cold today. I had an accident the other day. Something's not going well with my family. Suddenly, I'm asking you. And you'll be amazed if every telephone conversation you have with anybody, you can say, how are you doing? Tell me about your day. It changes the dimension of everything. You know why? Because it's about agape love in action. It is you saying, I care about you. And what matters to you matters to me. And you know what? If you practice those kind of things, it's unbelievable how you change. Another thing you can do is, you know what? You wake up on a Monday and say, what is it that I can do this week for somebody? Look around, you know, ask around. Maybe somebody, your neighbor somewhere, or somebody that you met before, maybe in a school somewhere, or teachers or your children. What can I do for them? Something. And you make an effort to do something. If it's buying a few apples for your children to take to your teacher or whatever it is, you know. My neighbor, I go there, I walk by, and I say hello to her. I say, what do you need today? And next thing you know, she gives me things. I'm like, oh my goodness, all right. Okay, I'll be back. Next thing you know, I'm painting her garage. I'm up on a stair putting her ceiling fans on, all that stuff. You know what? I love it. I love it. But I made an effort to ask. You do some of those kind of things, I want to tell you something. Your life will change. Your life will change. You say, I don't want to do that. Well, you know what? When you have agape love in your life, oh my goodness, you enjoy your life so much more. You know why? Because God's love. God's stuff in you always make your life better. I want to tell you that. Always make your life better. His stuff is so awesome. Nothing more awesome than agape love. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you that you loved us with agape love. Because of you, Lord Jesus, we have everything. There's nothing lacking. Lord God, would you help us to be able to live out the same love, to touch lives and change hearts, to impact our families, our environments, our city, for you, Lord. Thank you so much for the privilege. Thank you for entrusting your love to us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Let us pray as we worship the Lord through tithes and offerings. Father God, you are faithful. Thank you so much for everything that you have given to us. We ask that you would help us and empower us by your grace to be good and godly, kingdom-minded stewards. Bless these offerings for your kingdom and for your glory, and help us again to pursue love, to seek your kingdom with all our heart, to seek your righteousness, and all the things in our life will be given and provided for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. I'm Elizabeth.
And I'm Joshua.
Welcome to CBC. We have a few things to share with you this morning, so let's get started.
Join us this afternoon for our youth spaghetti luncheon starting at 12:30 p.m. in the FLC. This is a fundraising event that raises funds to support our spring mission trip to Costa Rica. Thank you for your support, and we'll see you there.
Also happening this afternoon, we have our meet and greet session with our new group of friends from the Mission Ministry. The meet and greet will take place at 4:30 p.m. right outside in the Sanctuary 4.
Then next week, we will have our CBC Churchwide Potluck Luncheon to celebrate Chinese New Year. During that same event, we will welcome Pastor Oleg and his family to our church. Pastor Oleg is our new young adult pastor. Then in 2 weeks, on Sunday, February 25th, we will have our annual CBC Chinese New Year banquet, starting at 5:30 p.m. at the Ocean Palace Restaurant. Tickets for the banquet can be purchased in our foyer.
In other news, CCI USA is hosting a Holy Land tour to Jordan in Israel in October 2018. And our very own Pastor Kai-Yu Choi is the pastoral leader for that event. Seats are limited, so if you're interested, sign up with CCI USA or see Pastor Choi for more information.
Also, CBC is partnering with the Baptist Student Ministry to help provide free lunch on college campuses. We will be serving lunch and meeting new students at the UH and HBU campuses. If you would like to get involved, please contact Juan or Troy.
Finally, don't forget that the Lee Strobel Nationwide Simulcast Prepare to Answer event will take place right here in the sanctuary this coming Saturday from 8 a.m. to noon. Please invite your friends to join us. Well, that's it for this week's announcements. Hope everyone has a wonderful day, and we'll see you at Sunday School.
Just a couple of other thoughts. One of the things that I hope you can come to, because I received some questions, because we have a new ministry, the Russian congregation in the afternoon. Some of you are questioning, well, who are they, what are they, and so forth and so on. Great time to come and get to know them, ask your questions, and just appreciate what God is doing in the midst. So I want to encourage you to come at 4:30. As well, we are so happy to be welcoming a new member in our church. And today, her name is Cheryl Champlin. I think I got that right. Would you stand, Cheryl? Here's Cheryl. Good to have you. So excited that you can be a part of our church, membership-wise. And thank you. We're going to vote her in right now, okay? All in favor of receiving Cheryl, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, good. Would you stand with me? Welcome. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for just all that you do in our lives. Thank you for just ministering to us and using us to minister to others. Lord God, we pray that as we go our separate ways, going to Sunday school and also throughout this day and throughout this week, would you use us to make a difference in the lives of some? Lord God, would you help us to grow in love? Would you allow us, Lord, to touch others with agape love? And now may the love of God and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Spirit of God be with each one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys.